approximately 39.
You know, it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. That means the takedown of the United States. I don't believe you're going to see one event that's going to be, people are going to say, well, this, on this day at this time, it was the day when everything turned. No, I don't believe that. I believe what we're seeing, and Joe and I were talking about this pre-show in the lineup and in the research for the show, that we are seeing everything take place right now, maybe a little bit behind schedule by the globalist time clock, but certainly, ahead of schedule by those who are not paying attention. And that's the way it is. People are not paying attention. People are looking for that big event, that hinge moment in time, that Pearl Harbor moment, that 9/11, that 2008 bank takedown holiday where nothing works and bam, it's going to hit us like the angry stepfather hits the redheaded stepchild behind the, you know, upside the head. And we are missing the issues. We're missing the takedown, the incremental takedown. And I think that's what people have to take a look at more so than waiting for that one moment in time. Because, and I'm just going to hit this very quickly, when you look at Rodham, Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, when you look at her senior thesis, which was written, published on, was published on May 2nd, 1969, titled "There's Only the Fight: An Analysis of the Alinsky Model." You look at that, you read that, 92 pages, I might add, which she, of course, had to give a dissertation, and of course, had to defend. It's interesting because she writes the conclusion in her conclusion, which gives the foundation for, lays the groundwork for what we're talking about tonight. She writes this: if the ideals Alinsky espouses were actualized, the result would be social revolution. Now, we're seeing the tenets, the beliefs, the ideology of Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky, if you don't know who Saul Alinsky is, in play, not by just Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, but by Obama and by every person surrounding themselves with Obama, with Clinton, with the progressives, with the Fabian socialists. This is the platform of the communists. This is the platform of the Fabian socialists, the Marxists. And folks, the distinction is minimal. It may appear when you talk about socialism, communism, and the different factions thereof, you might get a wash in the minutia, but at the end of the day, what we're seeing is this ultimate takedown of our republic by the powers that are in office that we have instilled. And people are so, in my view anyway, they are so, well, fatigued, I suppose would be a good word, fatigued. All the headlines. How many times have you heard in the last couple of months, I just had to turn off the news. I just had to turn the sound off. People are doing that. People are fatigued by the headlines. People are fatigued by the quote doom porn end quote that is prevalent on the radio. People are tired. They don't want to hear this anymore. And in a large part, I agree, because I have to, whether it's 5 a.m. or 5 p.m, I have to take my dog for a walk and we have to have a talk. At least she understands and she listens. And sometimes she makes more sense than the average two-legged person out there with her actions. But you see, when you look at the Alinsky model, when you look at the Fabian socialist model, what Joe is going to bring out next here is the physical manifestation of the Alinsky model. It's the physical manifestation. It's the actual operational implementation of the Cloward-Piven strategy. It is the actual operational implementation of the dream of the Fabian socialists. It is the George Orwell on steroids platform. It is all of this combined. So why mess it up with something unnecessary, huge kind of event when everything is working fine and people are looking away, not paying attention because they're not, I mean, they're looking for this big blast in the sky, this big blinding white light that's going to take everything out when the lights in the room of the mansion that is Earth are being turned out one at a time. And people aren't looking at it. They're just saying, when's the big one coming? Missing all the little ones that add up to the big one. So some of the things, because it ain't going to happen the way you think it's going to happen, in my view, in our view perhaps, but it's not. So let's get into some of the cracks in the foundation that we're seeing that speak to the manner in which the takedown will occur.
Well, we talked about the number of people in the Republican and GOP party who are against Donald Trump. They're now saying that Condoleezza Rice and Henry Kissinger, Clinton's trying to get them on her side. And you have these other acts that are going on from the manipulation in the media, the mass manipulation in all avenues of the mainstream media that are propping up Hillary Clinton and tearing down Trump when the opposite is actually true in terms of crowd size and number of people who are interested. You know, Trump got the most primary votes in 20, 30 years, and the support for Hillary is not there. Now you have violence starting all over the place. Woman's home was vandalized because of Trump signs. This is an article out of Dallas-Fort Worth CBS. It's not just Donald Trump himself.
I think the woman did the vandalizing. It was a guy that it was an older man who was almost run over, right?
Well, there's multiple reports of this. You have two separate
instances. That's right. That's right.
Hillary supporters burned down a giant Trump sign, and Trump actually turns around and calls the people who burned his sign down. Then you have a home. It says Donald Trump himself, it's not only him who can spark controversy. A McKinley homeowner learned even the campaign signs for Republican nominee can turn a quiet neighborhood into a political hotbed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Homeowner said she never planned for her yard to look the way it does with giant Trump signs. Even on her roof, she says she started with a couple of small signs. But after repeated vandalism, this was her answer. And she just went and continued to gather more signs and you know, show people that she wasn't backing down. But it got to the point where police had to have been contacted multiple times about complaints of vandalism. They also got involved Saturday when protesters showed up with signs mocking some of Donald Trump's statements from the campaign. Neighbors came to the house and started protesting this woman who had Trump signs in her yard. A Trump voter was shot after a political debate turned violent. An Ohio man was accused of shooting another man in the leg over a fight of presidential politics last month, has turned himself into police. I mean, what is making these people go
to the
violence, the neighbor level of violence that we're seeing? You know, we were talking about just a few weeks ago, you know, a racial war breaking out in this country. But it seems like that they're focusing their efforts back on a civil war.
They're amping their efforts up. Folks, and Joe, you bring this out. We brought this out prior to the 2012 reelection of Obama. I think I wrote an article from my DHS Insider. I can't remember the title of it, but it had to do with the planned reelection of Obama and how he was going to ensure his reelection, but using the tactics of civil division among the people and cause a civil war. And I believe he's doing that now. I think that something happened back in 2012 where he was guaranteed of a return to the Oval Office. So now that he's leaving, it's kind of like a scorched earth thing where, hey, I'm leaving, or ostensibly leaving. So let's pull out all the stops and let them be neighbor versus neighbor, brother versus brother, and let's exacerbate the already dry tinder here, and let's make it even drier, and let's throw some sparks on it, because this is what we're seeing. Yes, you're gone. I mean,
what they've done, you know, the social justice warriors, they've even made it to the point where, you know, these people are quote-unquote triggered by opposing political speech. Doesn't even have to be racially motivated, politically motivated. Just the name of the candidate sparks madness in people for some reason. And is this an effect of, you know, being babied too much in this generation? you know, where they've taken the parents out and, you know, you can't discipline your kids like you used to. You can't step in and correct them without, you know, being called, having children's services called on you by the school. And I'm not talking about beating your kids. I'm talking about disciplining them in a manner you see fit that's not unhealthy. At the same time, you know, lets them understand what right and wrong is. And remember Melissa Harris Perry, we have to get to the idea where children are not our own. They're the community's children. I mean, what has brought on the snowflake generation, as they call it?
Melissa Harris Perry, you just caused me to twitch again. I'm twitching because, yes, the poster child for the communist mindset, the poster child for the, in my view anyway, for the mentally and intellectually hobbled progressive left. When I say progressive, you know what? That's not even the right thing to say. Correct thing to say. It's the poster child for the communist mindset. Melissa Harris Perry. But yes, you know, the snowflake generation, the generation of wusses. But yet we have more, we have just as many wusses in the, baby boomer generation, I do suspect, especially when it comes to politics, especially when it comes to being intimidated. See, the intimidation factor out there by the media, and this is how the 3% can, 3% of the homosexual sodomites can control the 97% of the normal heterosexual functioning people. All right. Now, I'm a white heterosexual male and proud of it. That's gone. People say, "Oh, you're a racist, and you're a homophobe." In fact, let me go one step further. I'm a white male, gun-toting, Second Amendment, pro Second Amendment, pro-life, heterosexual. I'm trying to think what else I could throw in there. Any ideas? Oh, that was uncalled for, Eric. He didn't just say that. But you know, people refuse to stand up these days and say, this is what I stand for.
All right. And you got people out there saying, you know, the media protects Clinton with the biggest, most secure bubble I have ever seen. And with stories like this coming out, she needs a huge bubble of protection. Hillary's private meetings with Muslim Brotherhood officials secretly revealed. It has become widely known that Huma Abedin is connected directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. As it turns out, she has been secretly recording meetings with Hillary Clinton, and some of the videos have been intercepted by anonymous black hat hackers, one of which is the founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. He's been announcing for weeks that these leaks are coming soon. He foretells that the next leak will be big enough evidence to convict Hillary Clinton of treason, and it looks like he might be right, according to TeaParty.org. They go on to say that we've been able to confirm the substance of the leaks will be evidence of a vast conspiracy within our government. It appears that Huma Abedin secretly recorded Clinton, giving names of everyone involved in this conspiracy to subvert our nation. You've given plenty of history on Huma Abedin.
Well, it's even worse than that. I just want to add this in here. Did you know Omar Mateen, the shooter in Orlando? Did you know when Philip Haney, the DHS guy, was being interviewed on CBN? Did you know that because of the Muslim Brotherhood, because of what this regime made Haney do, and that's to expunge records of the Muslim Brotherhood. Did you know that the Justice Department redacted all of the shooter Omar Mateen's references to Islam and ISIS from a transcript of his 911 call? But we know that. But Haney discovered that right after the shooting, that the Fort Pierce, Florida mosque Mateen attended. Now this is important. Had ties to the Tablighi Jamaat case that the Obama-Clinton State Department shut down in 2012. If Haney's information had not been eliminated, the Orlando massacre might have been prevented. What we're saying here is this goes far beyond the, we have to be tolerant and all of this. No, this goes into the tactics and operational, effectiveness of the police department as it should be. Now, I'm not talking about the overreaching aspects by the FBI and CIA and NSA. I'm talking about normal police work. And because of that, this happened. Okay. What's that?
What are you pointing at there?
Okay, what I'm pointing at is earlier in the program I referenced the former DHS officer Philip Haney gave an insider's perspective to in an interview, and he wrote a book that just was published. But what he said was this: he was asked to modify all of the links to the Muslim Brotherhood in the instruction manuals by of DHS and such. But what happened was, they didn't just modify the information in the records, they completely expunged, eliminated them out of existence, erased them forever. And part of the erasure included the operational ties between the Muslim Brotherhood and the mosque that was attended by Omar Mateen. Now, had they left that in there, it is very possible that the police could have had a heads up to that shooting, but you're not going to hear this by Melitha Harris Berry. No, you're not going
to
hear that.
Well, they did have a heads up to that shooting, just not in the manner that you're speaking of. And that's right. That has come out since. Back to this teaparty.org about Huma Abedin and leaked Muslim Brotherhood information. This teaparty.org article goes on to say the video was secretly recorded for the Saudi royals by Huma Abedin and intercepted by Anonymous while she was transferring them via a well-known file-sharing site. She was confronted about the videos and agreed to give the anonymous hacker information about the DNC from a DNC insider if she would agree not to be exposed herself. This article says the insider she introduced him to was none other than Seth Rich, a DNC employee who was recently found murdered in July. Although Clinton and her gang tried to stop Seth from leaking any incriminating evidence, it was too late. The emails were turned over, they turned over the DNC emails that were leaked recently, and the hacker immediately gave them to WikiLeaks along with the interception videos. The evidence of that is yet to be seen, but this article says that the videos are scheduled to be released on Saturday, August 6th by WikiLeaks. That day has came and gone. Don't know if we're going to see those, but the emails have come out, and lots of emails that have come out. We've covered a few of those here on the show, some of which WikiLeaks confirms Hillary sold weapons to ISIS. The Iranian scientist... and this, you know...
Oh, the Iranian scientist thing is a big deal.
Discussed executed Iranian scientists on email.
That's a big deal.
Hillary Clinton recklessly discussed in emails hosted on her private server an Iranian nuclear scientist who was executed by Iran for treason. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas said Sunday. It goes on to say, I'm not going to comment on what he may or may not have done for the United States government, but in the emails that were on Hillary Clinton's private server, there were conversations among her senior advisors about this gentleman. He said on Face the Nation, Cotton was speaking about a Mr. Amar Amiri, who gave information to the U.S. about Iran's nuclear program. The senior said this lapse proves she is not capable of keeping this country safe, and that would go to what we talked about, the charges of treason. For what she did with her private email server, letting classified information flow freely in a private, unprotected server outside of the State Department's records. That led, and verifiably led, to the death of a nuclear scientist who was giving the United States information, who was sent back to Iran, knowing what would happen. Iran confirmed on Sunday that Amiri had been hanged for treason. He was convicted of spying charges in a death sentence case that was upheld on appeal, according to the Associated Press. The person who had access to the country's secret and classified information had been linked to our hostile and number one enemy, America, the great Satan. He provided the enemy with vital and secret information of the country. That was from the Iranian press. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, his family was back and left back in Iran. And they talked about this over the email server. And it just shows the kind of person that we will get if, I mean, Hillary Clinton becomes president. And the kind of person is not only, I would say, mentally unstable. The Communist Party proudly endorses her for president, as the Communist Party has united behind Hillary. New articles from today have come out to say that the Communist Party USA may not control many actual votes, but the support and the support behind with enthusiasm the candidate they support is Hillary Clinton. And they've came out and publicly endorsed Hillary Clinton. Larry Nichols, who's been on this show in the past, said one of the first times he met Bill and Hillary Clinton, she was wearing a Communist Party USA medal around her neck. And that was how many years ago? Decades ago.
Right. Yep.
We know the, it came out also in these WikiLeaks emails about the 1/5 of United States uranium being sold to Russia in exchange for a $145 million Clinton Foundation donation that was made in an agreement that is in the emails that have been given by the WikiLeaks releases. But even though the media is saying Trump is a, you know, could Trump be a Russian double agent, the Manchurian candidate? And this ties back to the Bundy Ranch. And we've talked about that at length in the past.
Yep.
Which leads me to wonder, are we better off? Would have we been better off with Bernie Sanders running against Donald Trump? Because there, at least he admitted he was a socialist. Hillary Clinton won't even admit she's a communist or a Satanist or a witch, but she is.
Well, and it's something all of the above, yeah.
That's not going away. And another thing that's not going away is don't expect any truth from poll numbers.
Oh, yes. You're talking about
Georgia.
Oh.
In a state that has not been a red state for, I forget what, since 1980 or 79. They said she has like a 7 or 8 point lead.
Yeah.
There's no way. And then, I mean, these polls that she took a 10-15% jump after the convention. But if you look at the actual
you're not
events,
find any truth in
and
any
you look
ways.
At the attendance, a number of attendees at the political events, Trump is literally pulling in thousands to tens of thousands of people a day per event. She can't even get 500 people to an event. You know, she has one speaking engagement. The next one is on October 19th. There's no other rally scheduled till then.
You all right?
That's 2 months away.
In case you didn't catch that, Eric hiccuped.
Loudly.
Yes.
Almost out of his chair.
Yeah. Well,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a complete manipulation. The bubble that she is being protected in is not only one of the party bubble, it's the Republican, both party bubbles, and a media bubble.
Well, that's it. We're being gamed, and this is nothing new, but I think it's becoming more overt to people who are paying attention. And folks, look, I guess the takeaway from this, all of this, is that we have to understand, just how effective this media programming is, how effective this stuff from the Tavistock is, that this Madison Avenue sales job on us is, if you ask, it seems to be split along or separated along demographic lines too. More people who watch Fox News or MSNBC, depending on your bias politically, you know you're being lied to at every turn, or at least many turns. Even the talk show hosts, mainstream, I think are putting out a lot of disinformation and misinformation. You look at the poll numbers, as Joe said, there's just no way. Now, our question, I suppose, to all of you is what happens on that day in November when suddenly Hillary Clinton walks away with despite numbers to the contrary, Hillary Clinton walks away with the election. Can that happen? Is it possible? Of course. Is it probable? I don't know. But could something else happen between now and November, that day in November, to change the landscape, political landscape of what's taking place? I do believe that there could be. I fear and pray for the safety of Donald Trump. I marvel at the obfuscation, the criminality. Of the Clinton cabal. I still don't get, Joe, I still don't get the people who fail to acknowledge the criminality of the Clintons. And this is not just mere, this is treasonous behavior, whether it's Benghazi or Fast and, I mean, all of this, it's horrible.
Do you see that two separate family members.
Yes.
Parents of Benghazi victims are coming out and suing Hillary Clinton civilly.
And as well they should. And by the way, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, but you know what? New York City had a gun buyback program, 165 guns. Folks, we're going to start a gun buyback program here at the Hagman Studios. That's right. We're going to be issuing, bank cards, $25 bank card for your rifles and shotguns. No questions asked. Line up now because we're going to do it. Just bring your firearms here. That's right. We're going to do it. What do you think? Up to $200 for an assault rifle. Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Going to be right back. You just stay right in that chair right there. We're going to be coming back. Yes, well, I'm proud to be a white male of Western European origin, pro-life, pro-Bible, pro-Second Amendment, anti-LGBT, anti-homosexual sodomite, pro-nationalist. I'm trying to think what else. I'm sure there's much more. But, you know, we need, in America today, we need to be, if we're Christian, I truly believe we need to stand up and say, you know, I am a Christian, I'm proud of it, and you're not going to bully me. You're not going to quiet me, make me be quiet. You're not going to use my religion against me. You're not going to use my goodwill against me. And we are going to stand up and make a difference, because if we don't make a difference today, are we going to leave it to our sons and daughters? Is that what your plan is? Are we going to just say, well, we can't, nah, you know, we have to be more tolerant? I'm anti-tolerance, by the way. I think tolerance has given us, seriously, I believe tolerance,
we've been, just like everything, there's a line.
Well, you know that, what?
And obviously we're not to tolerate any evil. We're not
that's
to tolerate.
Right. But certain what is Sharia, for example, except evil? What is Islam?
Well, anything that puts aside your faith in Jesus and tries to make you submit to something else.
Well, there it is. You've got the 3% bullying the 97%. I'm talking about homosexuals now. You've got the lie of judicial supremacy. You've got the abortion, the murder mills out there, just flouting the law, saying, well, we are going to sell baby parts and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you do, well, you're anti-woman. My body, my choice, right? Haven't we been just being slammed with that? By the way, that's wrong, Eric. The time on that's wrong. Nothing like embarrassing Eric on there. Hey, actually, he's not embarrassed. He's just, thanks, man. This is how good we are. I actually need to see the time, not the time, real time, although we do have the real time. And then on the right, we've got a prompt that says, okay, stop talking at this time. And then if it was any simpler, it'd be written in Quran. Okay, but thank you, Eric. Eric the Tech.
It even has it's white numbers with a black backdrop with big red flashing signs like you see on Drudge sometimes with the headline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we should set your watch to it. Get you one of those beeping watches.
The only other step would be to duct tape. I mean, it would be come over, you know, Eric.
We can have a bullhorn button.
It may come to that. Mm-hmm. But thanks for joining us and thanks for hanging with us. I just want to say, we are so proud to be able to bring you the information that we do bring you. And I think all of this together, we, and I mentioned this to Russ this weekend. Russ Dizdar and I, in case you're just joining us, we had a great conversation. We had a long, long meeting. We did some things together this weekend and I am so amazed, constantly amazed at Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Russ is on the front lines fighting unspeakable evil. Evil that folks, you know, I even...
You don't even want to hear the story.
No, I you know, and this is not an exaggeration. After Russ and I got done, I actually slept for, I think it was 10 hours because I was... You talk about being mentally wiped out. I'm a pretty rough guy, okay? I mean, I think of myself as a pretty, and I've seen some, I mean, I've carried severed limbs, or in the, you know, 19 years old, I'm carrying an arm or a finger or, so I mean, I'm pretty grizzled, shall I say, if I can say.
Well, being a former EMS.
Yeah.
But one would be used to blood and gore and situations that are,
But you know what, Joe? The level of evil that he fights, mm-hmm. To me, is just astounding. So when you hear, please tune in to Global Star Radio Network every weeknight from 6 to 7. This show comes on right before ours. Listen to what Russ Dizdar has to say. ShatterTheDarkness.net is his website. And I say that because the window... There's a window of evil that few people, and my book is a little bit about this. There are people who will refuse to discuss or deny exists the evil at this level. And we are fighting against principalities and powers of darkness, of true evil. We're fighting against people who have multiple generations of MPD, DID. We're fighting against people who have been trained as multiples by our own government. And I know how ridiculous that sounds because 10 years, 15 years ago, not 10 years ago, but, you know, I'm sure 20 years ago, I would have scoffed at that. But our own government creating multiples. When I say multiples, I'm talking about splitting the personalities of people and the absolute heinous torture. It's just beyond description and defies description. And his book, Black Awakening, where he talks about, in the end, the legions who are part of this evil are going to break through you're going to see people that you thought were maybe a partner on a police force, maybe even a spouse, although who knows, a neighbor, suddenly take over and show their true selves. Anyway, so my hat's off to Russ Dizdar, and I just, I was, wow. But, and he's, don't forget, he's got a birthday coming up at the end of the month. He's going to be 60, and he doesn't look it, but, he's also going to be at the revival with, Steve Quayle, David Langford, and, Gary Haven. He's also going to, Missouri. So click on Revival and Hagman and Hagman.com there if you want to see him. And you got to register. And let them know you heard this on Hagman and Hagman too. We get, brownie points for that. And to a couple other things, since you're just joining us, some people, don't forget to catch us on, DirecTV channel 367 this Friday.
11:30 p.m.
11:30 p.m. Eastern time, the real time. And, thank you. Thank you for watching last week and this week again, The Coming Apocalypse. You're going to be hearing more about that show, that network, that station. It's just fantastic. So, but anyway, having said all that, saddle for battle. Things are not going to happen, I think, the way you think they are. And to prove that even more. Where's the saddle for battle? Hang on. Okay, let's do that. You tell me. Saddle for battle. Tell me when this is ready. See, we got these new visuals. Tell us what you think. Folks, saddle for battle. How's that for an intro and outro? Saddle for battle. Seriously, we need to be very, in my view anyway, I think we need to regain our composure as Christians. And really, we need to understand the level that the battle or the tenor the battle is taking. So saddle for battle. Let's go.
I know you mentioned the Garland, Texas shooters last week.
Yes, I did.
And I can't remember what context that you meant. Was it about the FBI agent?
Well, yes. There was an embedded FBI agent who said, tear up Texas.
Yes, okay.
Tear up Texas.
That's what I thought.
All right. So, again, we're looking at the complicit nature, the complicity of a federal law enforcement agency. And having been...
Elton Simpson.
That's the FBI agent, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When you infiltrate an organization, or when you infiltrate...
No, the agent messaged... Elton Simpson, I'm sorry, days before he opened fire at the Dra Muhammad event.
Oh, but that's right. I'm sorry.
The Daily Beast has recently reported that days before an ISIS sympathizers attacked a cartoonist contest in Garland, Texas, he received a text from an undercover FBI agent, yep. Tear up Texas.
Yeah, that's frowned upon. I mean, at least it was, at least when I worked as an operational asset. You don't incite violence. You monitor and you mitigate, if not extinguish, any violence, but you don't incite violence. Whereas this FBI agent, depicted in that article, did more to incite the violence against this particular. And this is Pam Geller's deal.
And that's what's being asked here. They say, to some degree, I understand that undercover FBI agents have to play along.
Yes.
Well, in undercover operations that they're dealing with. But in order to be an informant, you still have to have credibility. It's a whole other thing if you're encouraging and cheering on the proposed murder of Americans who are standing in defense of the freedom of speech and then not doing anything about it. So they wonder where was the line with this agent? Well, the Daily Beast is...
I don't think that there's much... Because you said before, too, when I said I was anti-tolerance... You know, you said there's a fine line. Well, there's, I think, a more clear distinction here when you are embedded, when you are an FBI, when you are undercover, the line is very simple. You do not promote or encourage lawlessness or breaking the law. You really can't do that. Just as, for example, you cannot, at least when I was in my limited capacity, you could not, for example, you just couldn't. You could not ask somebody to do something they would not ordinarily do, or you could not cheerlead them on. So there's a clear, distinct line there. People in law enforcement know this. It would be like, well, I'm not going to get into various examples, but I think it's pretty clear. I think it's clear to people that what we're seeing here is I think the federal agencies at the direction, under the direction of the leadership, are being asked to step over that line and to create situations that would not normally happen without that little bumper, that little push toward, well, just what that agent did. It's not right. It doesn't build credibility. Tear up Texas. No, I don't think so. All right.
We have news on the Zika virus.
Yes.
That has been hitting South Florida pretty hard. The headlines that we see are Miami, parts of Miami are like a ghost town. Well, the first case of locally acquired Zika virus has arrived in Palm Beach County. Governor Rick Scott said Monday the infected person recently traveled to Miami-Dade County, ground zero for an outbreak of Zika acquired through domestic mosquitoes. State health officials are attempting to determine where the unidentified person contacted the virus. Before Monday's announcement, the state said that 20 people in Palm Beach County had been infected while traveling outside the United States to countries mostly in the Caribbean and Latin America where the virus is widespread. South Florida has had 17 cases of locally acquired Zika, including at least 14 in a one-square area in Miami's Windward neighborhood, a popular arts district just north of the city's downtown. There have also been two confirmed cases in Broward County, that's south of Miami, and non-travel-related Zika. Scott said Monday, the governor said Monday, that state officials still believe the local transmission of Zika remains confined to the Windward area.
Well, now, there's still a mystery out here. NALID, a neurotoxin.
They're spraying a neurotoxin, as you said, JD, told you about earlier. They're also releasing genetically modified mosquitoes into
what could possibly
the Florida area, as they say, to contaminate the mosquitoes they mate with who have the virus that will then die. I still don't understand how that works. And in another separate article, the Windward, a ghost town, as spraying for Zika continues, it says this neighborhood is always popular, was notably empty of its usual weekend crowds, and they say it was because of the virus. Several shop owners and managers would not even talk to local CBS 4, who tried to speak with them, as they did not want to draw more attention to the situation. There was one shop owner who said off camera that she only had one sale and it didn't happen until 5 p.m., a very unusual weekend. They said it's actually pretty much been a ghost town. So what does this say? There are restaurants, this is a hot spot for people.
What does it say when Puerto Rico says, no, you ain't spraying this stuff. Get out of here. Yet it's being
like
dumped.
Cuba had come out and just criticized Obama on their immigration policy, saying it was dangerous and reckless the way that Obama was allowing immigrants to come into America.
Sure.
It's the same thing. I mean, when you have third world nations run by, well, Puerto Rico's part of America, but Cuba is not, obviously. We just, Obama administration recently allowed travel to Cuba and took restrictions off of that country that has been basically since the Cold War an enemy of America.
So wait a second. Does that mean that Eric's Cubans are legal now?
Yes, they are.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. They're legal.
I'm not talking about actual Cubans, not the cigars, but actual Cubans that he's got.
Oh, those guys.
Mowing his lawn and stuff.
It depends on how he takes care of them. I mean,
okay.
Well, they have mattresses, access to food.
But
Eric, I'm not sure.
No, but you've got, okay, so I think, again, we're looking at a number of issues here. We talked about Ted Brewer about this virus, of course. And you go to Africa where they're actually putting pregnant women on ships and they're having abortions in international waters because they're afraid that their unborn children are going to be born with this microencephaly, which is abnormally small heads But yet now they're in Florida, they're dumping tons and tons of this neurotoxin NALID in these various areas. JD, our creative evangelist, is right at ground zero there and getting dumped on by this NALID, this neurotoxin, which, by the way, it does. Look, it's only got a few side effects. It causes a person to salivate more, to feel a numbness and headaches, dizziness, tremors, nausea, abdominal cramps, sweating, blurred vision, difficulty breathing, slowed heartbeat, and ultimately perhaps death. But don't worry. We're kidding the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and they're looking at how this virus lives in a man's, shall we say, the essence of a man, you know what I mean? The love juice of a man. Yes, go to HagmaReport.com, and there's an article there. Eric had to remind me of that. I'm sorry about that. Yes, go to HagmaReport.com and take a look, because it's critical. I mean, we're being gamed into this. This is all about eugenics. This is all about genocide, in my view, anyway. What do we do? What do we do about this? If you're
you know, the origins of this virus, go back to a Rockefeller patent.
Yes.
From 1947.
And people don't know that.
I have to dig out. I'm not sure if I have it on this computer or another one. But it's definitely very easy to find. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. The patent's very vague, and the information on it's very vague. I don't think the timing of it's coincidence, though. You look at 1947, 48, that's when Israel became a nation again after the war. United Nations was set up.
Right.
And the Rockefellers were involved. So there's something more to this virus, I do believe, that goes much further beyond coincidence.
Well, and I think that we, again, against the backdrop of what we're seeing here, you know, the laughing hyenas at the State Department saying, ha ha ha, we fooled you, and we're fooling you all the time. We're this, you know, the criminality cannot be more overt. Well, I suppose it could be. It could be right in your front yard. But here we see this continuing conduct of criminal behavior that is Washington, D.C. And we're seeing it through the spraying of neurotoxins in Miami with the nodding approval of the mayor down there. We're seeing this the residents of Florida, the pets, the wildlife being affected, subjected to this ongoing and limitless spraying campaign. Officials who are doing this have yet to say, well, we're going to stop it, you know, at this point, or this is how long it's going to last. No one asked the approval of the residents down there. And really, what is, at the end of the day, I think one has to ask themselves, what is what is this, a man-made virus? I mean, how much do we know about this? I happen to see, Joe, I happen to see on again, that sewage pit of a forum, Democratic Underground, when I was looking, and it was, there were people there who were applauding the passage of the DARK Act. Now, folks, I don't know how many of you know, how many, I'm sure most of our audience does know, that Monsanto is behind the legislation to keep the ingredients
what they're allowed to do is put genetically modified foods on the shelves of grocery stores without labeling them as genetically modified. Also allowed to put genetically modified foods and label them natural on.
That's correct. Shelves. And you have these yo-yos out there, you know, on these forums saying, but see, science is better than the knee-jerk reactions of those who are those who object to having this done. In other words, they're defending the very people. These people are defending that practice. It's okay, for example. It's okay not to be told or to trust in science over nature. And that's the narrative that we're being subjected to. And I believe this is going to be part of the larger deception when it comes around. Because I believe that the deception that is going to involve Christianity and the outlawing of Christianity and the alien savior, in quotation marks, or the fact that really Jesus is not the savior, you know, didn't die and was not resurrected. The narrative will change to water down and ultimately change Christianity. You see, the pattern here is the same. It's from the same playbook. The pages are the same. This is all part of that deception. When we have science, trust in science. Don't trust in nature. The deception is going to come from science proving that, we have an alien savior. We're being set up for this by the Pope, by the Vatican, specifically this Pope. We're seeing science coming out and saying, well, you can live to be, you know, 200 years old or more, through genetic engineering. You can have the designer babies. We're seeing all of this take part. And all of this is going to be part of the greater deception. So, this Zika virus. And what about the vaccines? See, this is the other thing. What about when they say, well, we have a vaccine to prevent Zika from infecting you?
And they're working on it. Almost have the cure. It's worked on monkeys. We're just waiting for human trials now.
Now, when you say it's worked on, well...
It's worked on an animal trials.
Right? All right. Yeah, it just like, you know...
That's what they say, and you know...
Boy. But look at things, and I would urge everyone to look at things from a broader perspective, because, you know, here we are again on this particular day as we get toward the end of the dog days of summer, and there's the reason why that's called that, and maybe we'll get into that at some point in the future, and it involves the dog star Sirius, But having said that,
what are you talking about?
The dog days of summer, dog star series.
I was just reading about that. There's the meteor shower that we are going to be entering into, the peak of which is on the 11th of August. But you can start to see them now. The Perseidus meteor shower, I think it might be called. This gets into the dog days of summer and Sirius entering its phase. And there's interesting phases of the moon and Jupiter where actually looks like the crescent moon and star.
Well, and don't forget the planetary alignment's important to the globalists who are making the plan.
I don't pay attention that much, but as time goes on, it seems that more earthquakes, volcanoes, and things tend to coincide with those alignments. And that's just from science I've looked at. Right. And tomorrow we'll ask Stan about it, but there is major alignments coming up. And also, in separate news, there was a suicide bomber in Pakistan.
Yes, there was.
ISIS claimed responsibility. 70 are dead.
Oh, 70?
Okay. As he blew himself up in the lobby of a hospital. Men, women, and children.
Sounds like mental illness to me.
It's just...
That's a go-to phrase, folks. That's a code for... We can't say it's Islam. We can't say they're Muslim. Sounds like mental illness to me.
The United Nations and the United Nations Security Council must not allow civilians on both sides of the Syrian city of Aleppo to be cut off from humanitarian aid, as U.S. urges Russia to halt Syrian sieges. Russia slams the politicalization of the what they're trying to do, as reported on this last week. They're trying to get the remaining civilians out of Aleppo, I believe. Aleppo.
Yes.
In order to continue their bombing campaign against ISIS, but are being halted by the U.S. In several ways, especially in the media. And Obama comes out and says, Israel loves my Iran deal. And Israel saying, Obama, you're an idiot. Your Iran deal's garbage. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, really?
But what world do these people live in? I mean,
see, it doesn't matter. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Again, folks, please keep in your prayers the individual, the men our soldiers from Extortion 17 5 years ago this past Saturday, where their lives were snuffed out by Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, by her policies, or at least she was overseeing that, shall we say, along with Obama, Extortion 17, going down August 6, 2011. Keep them in your prayers. Charles Strange, Michael Strange Foundation, interviewed on our program, as well as others, talking about that. Things are not as they appear to be, and in fact, things are not going to happen the way we believe, perhaps. They are already happening. We just need to be aware and focused. Be aware. Situational awareness is really a prime thing. I mean, that's we really need situational awareness, because that will ensure, along with our belief in God, situational awareness will help us to ensure our survival. And, of course, physical survival, spiritual survival is necessary as well, spiritual belief to help and protect us. Folks, until tomorrow, God bless every one of you. Thanks for tuning in.